Nothing says I love you like a big brand fragrance from Chemist Warehouse this Valentine's Day.
Hello, welcome to the show. Make sure you subscribe and you'll get the little catch-up easier. It's a moment of madness when the PM, Rich Uncle Mel, former PM, invited Rusty Crowe onto the phone today.
Well, it was Waitangi Day and figured he wanted to say sorry. Malcolm Turnbull always wants to say sorry.
I know, but did anyone ask why he and Rusty were in the same room together? That was just odd.
Magic.
And Russell Crowe was taking part in what I assume is a New Zealand smoke ceremony.
Every 6 minutes he has an internal hungy.
War of words between the Broncos and Kevin Walters. Well, the Walters family, really.
No, well, that was the beat up that was suggested. Mm. But I was in massive defence of Narelle Walters because I think she was just trying to do the right thing.
You had fashion news yesterday, now you got some gossip news today.
Well, you get your information where you want it, mate. It's not rugby league, but I tell you, Matt Damon doesn't get...
Damon. You said we're going to talk about Matt Damon, and I was Googling like D-A-E-M-O-N. I'm like, who is this rugby player
I don't know about? Say it? Matt Damon.
It's, no, Damon.
Matt Damon.
Because you stitched me up when our big boss is called Damon. Yeah. His name is Damon, and you said Damon, or however the weird way you say it. Damon was
Damon. It's Damon.
Am I saying it D-A-Y? Oh, Christ almighty, it's just a little piece of news.
Yeah, but I went up to him and I said, it's very nice to meet you,
Matt.
Damon, or whatever you said his
Damon.
Name was.
Damon.
Damon, right?
Damon,
and he's like,
Damon.
No, it's Damon. And I was like, well, yeah, yes, as it should be.
Oh, Christ.
That's very awkward.
What?
Hmm?
Who's on first?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
A man who's still trying to stay involved, our former Prime Minister, also a wealthy former banker.
Oh, yeah.
Big Mal, Rich Uncle Mal.
I hope you're not using rhyming slang there, Marto.
Oh, no, no. Hi, sir.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thanks, Robin Bailey. Hello to you, young Brendo, Nick Cody, and of course you, Marto. I've got to say, just like the Chili Peppers said, thankfully, the Banking Royal Commission, everything must go away.
So what did you think of it all?
Well, storm into teacup, mostly. You know, if you think about $850 million spread across 23 million people in this country, it's only $36 a person. So it's not a bad deal. And the banks have been under the pump for a long time. You've got to think about the people who are really suffering. I spoke to a friend of mine at Macquarie recently, and he said he's got to focus on the big issues. And I bought one from him. And no, I'm kidding. They're never poor. No, he's doing okay. But, you know, really and truly, I think that we wasted too much time and effort on the banks. It's like, oh, the banks are ripping us off. Oh, really?
Hey, Big Uncle Mel, do you have any sympathy for the people who have lost everything?
Well, no, Nick, I don't. I mean, I can't believe that people actually use banks in Australia when there's perfectly good banking system in Switzerland that you redirect your funds through the Cayman Islands and put it in a slush fund and return it through your family trust. Tax-free, unfranked dividends. Now, I mean, Titch Short and the communists are going to try and stop this, but it's wrong. So I've got no sympathy for your man in the street, your individual, who's out there chain-smoking and drinking chocolate milk.
Now, Rich Uncle Mel, let's change tack. It's Waitangi Day in New Zealand, their national day. The Kiwi still hurting from the underarm cricket incident in 1981, 38 years ago. Mm. As a former Prime Minister, should we and will you ever say sorry?
Well, I think that it's a great thing to do to reach across the ditch today to all those scaffolders in New Zealand and hold hands with them and say, sorry, bro, we really are sorry. And I'd like to, at this moment, hand over to the unofficial ambassador to New Zealand, Rusty Crowe.
Oh, wow.
What? You g'day, guys. Oh, thanks a lot, Brendo. Coming to where the flavour is. You know, I remember in 1981 when that happened and I was at the ground and I thought it was very poor sportsmanship. I was very angry, especially when Richard McKechnie threw his bat. I thought, no, you could use the bat for another good, you know, reason and smash Trevor Chappell's head in. And I nearly started the Civil War. I was fired up. Piggy Muldoon was angry. But I appreciate Malcolm saying sorry. Have a happy Waitangi Day, everyone.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Rusty.
See you, Rusty. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good on you, Russ. You're a good guy. Smoke's rather heavy in here, though.
Yes.
He's really pumping on the durries. I know what they're called, durries.
Yes, you do, sir. Are you rocking anyone today?
Yes, Robin Bailey, I will rock someone. I'd like to say that Triple M rocks North Lakes. I've never been there and I never will.
Good on you, bye now.
Bye, bye now. Now.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
Big story about a feud between the Broncos and Kevin Walters after accident. Well, I think it's an accident. Narelle Walters made a claim that maybe the Broncos had stolen the slogan that Kevin Walters had used in his interview process. So it's all very murky. So we'll go to our Broncos insider, Dobbo. Tell us what you know. It's been plastered on the back page of the Courier Mail and accusations have been made.
Yeah, morning, guys. Let's step through the timeline here quickly. October 22nd, Kevin Walters was one of four coaches who presented for the 2019 or 2020 coaching job. Mm. He was unsuccessful. Obviously, Anthony Seibold got the job. When Kevin made his presentation, the big thing is now they make a presentation, they hand a booklet out for everybody, the four members of the coaching panel.
It was a job interview.
Yeah, to give your vision for the club.
Your vision.
Yeah.
He had a quote, "Better never stops," and that was on his document that he actually gave to the Broncos. Yes.
Now, is it safe to say if you haven't won a premiership in 13 years that better can stop?
Seems to have come to a stop.
Well, they had hashtag Bronx Nation for a long time, the Broncos. Anyway, fast forward to 3 days ago, Narelle Walters is driving along and splashed across the back of a bus is, lo and behold,
that slogan.
The slogan, "Better never stops." Now, before I even go into that, Kevin Walters has not at any stage said he owns that slogan. He didn't make up the slogan. My understanding is he liked the slogan, he used it, and rightly so, Narelle Walters sees that. She sees the presentation, obviously, clearly, still hurting that they didn't get the job.
Yeah.
Anybody
so
would
am
be.
I. Yeah, I'm hurting that he didn't get the job.
Anybody would be upset. I thought he was the right bloke with the job at that stage, but I actually am really happy with Anthony Seibold's selection. Now, whatever, that's all in the past.
Yeah.
Narelle Walters has a private Facebook account. There is around a couple of hundred people who are her inner sanctum who are her friends.
Yeah.
She put a post up, which has now somehow made it to the paper. Somebody of that close circle has had a major breach of the friendship and privacy, has sent it to Galamata.
Yeah, just the post was that the Broncos may have stolen the slogan. Saying, "Better, better, what
yeah,
is it?
She, better never stops."
Better never stops.
She actually said, "It doesn't make me feel great. You know, this was Kevin's proposal." She's called them a few names.
Yep.
But it's on her own private Facebook
200
page.
200 people. Somebody has breached the privacy.
So someone's dogged her, one of her Facebook friends has dogged her.
And given it to
the Courier Mail.
Well, clearly they're the ones who have written it today. So somebody at News Limited has been given it. Obviously then it's gone viral. Everybody has been looking for the Broncos Kevy drama. Everybody's been looking for it.
Okay, so this morning you, Dobbo, get a message from Narelle Walters and she's been up all night and she's in tears. And you said to me, "Can I have a chat to her?" Now, I've kind of seen Narelle for 20-odd years around all the football stuff. I don't know. I'm not part of that Facebook group. But she was a very distraught woman.
Yeah,
and
horrific.
She was just saying to me, and I'll repeat what she said, because the back page of the paper says, "Bitter never stops, exclusive Walters feud with Broncos turned sour."
Is that a piss take on the Kiwi Watangi Day? Bitter.
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 Here's the thing. It's not about Kevin Walters and the Broncos. It's about a woman who's watched her husband go through some awful stuff. She said to me, "I had a brain snap. And I wrote something I shouldn't have written, and I wrote it to a private Facebook because I was frustrated. And now all of this stuff has unfolded. She's been absolutely nailed on social media. And look, to be honest, I don't really care what goes on that bigger picture, but here's a woman who's trying to defend her husband.
I love that.
And I will back that every step of the way.
Especially that the "Better Never Stops" was the front page of his 236-page essay.
That's right.
He wrote for the job. That's why she's upset, just the amount they've spent on printer ink.
And she said to me, "I spend my time telling my kids, do not write stuff on social media. It will come and haunt you." And she has actually been super slammed by a whole lot of people being really nasty to her. This isn't about the Broncos. If you're a massive supporter of the Broncos, if you're a massive supporter of Kevin, that's all fine. This is just about a woman trying to defend a man.
Broncos are saying that they're not claiming that they invented it, but they're saying that they had it ready to go in June last year before they ever read
Of course they are. But listen, just quickly, I'm with you, Rob. The most honourable thing is a wife or a husband that sticks up for their partner.
Absolutely.
So hats off to Narelle Walters.
And I'm upset I got overlooked. My 400-page essay, Just Do It.
Where'd you get that
from? That's a Cody classic.
The Rush Hour, 6 o'clock tonight with Dubbo. Thanks for that, my man.
The Big Breakfast with Mardo, Robin and Nick Cody.
When we think Townsville, we normally think the Cowboys. But this week, of course, we've been thinking the big monsoonal deluge. And we spoke to Paul Green, the captain... We spoke to Paul Green, the coach of the Cowboys, and he told us the boys are getting out and about in their boats. And there's one bloke that was actually rescued in a boat, I believe. His name, Origin and Cowboys second rower, Gavin Cooper. Hello, mate.
Morning, guys. How are we this morning? High and dry, I hope.
Well, Nick actually had a question for you.
I've got a quick question, Gav. I don't know if it's been covered in the news. Is it wet up in Townsville at the minute?
It is just a little bit. If you actually drive around on one side of Townsville, you would not have a clue what's happening on the other side. It's a little bit crazy. Yeah.
That's what happened during the Brisbane floods. You would literally go like four streets and see people mowing their lawns and then go down to towards the river and whole houses have been inundated. But you had to get rescued. What happened?
We were split in communication with the Army and then they were coming around to us and they said to us, if you can go now. And then it's just sort of a couple of guys in our street. We're on the higher side. Oh, we generally thought we were okay. And on their advice, on the other people's advice, everyone had their own two cents to throw in, but it was all listened to. We stuck it out through the night and it peaked at about 2 a.m., 4 a.m. It sort of stayed the same. It was just lapping our front door. We're one of the five lucky houses in our street that are a little bit higher. So everyone on the bottom side of our street was knee-deep, waist-deep in water in their lounge room.
We've got kids.
We're up the high side. We're okay. We've got two big dogs as well. And by the time it was time to get out, it was sort of on dark. So it was going to be a bit scary doing it on dark. So we thought if we can hang out the night, we'll just get out in the morning.
Well, Coach Paul Green said to us that a couple of the boys in the team have got boats. Were you saved by another Cowboy player?
I was saved by our chaplain up here, actually, his boat, and a couple of the boys, Johnny Asiata and our ex-Cowboy, Antonio.
The chaplain? Antonio Winterstein was involved as well.
It's a little bit ironic getting saved by two Samoans who can't swim.
They need the boat more than you.
Yeah, they did. Very grateful for their efforts. And then after we got picked up and my family got to safety, I jumped back in another boat. There was plenty of guys willing to lend a hand and a boat and a hand. A guy turned up down there with a boat with someone else in, so I just jumped in his boat for the day and we just trekked around. There was many people lending many hands. It was great.
We saw that on the news. They call it the Townsville Tinny Navy. We're seeing it all the time. So that's what it's like. There's people just travelling around helping each other.
The chaplain would have been all over it. He's read about Noah's Ark. He's like, I've seen this before, guys. It's built a boat.
He has. There's a couple of sad stories in there about people having to leave animals and stuff like that. But there was one boat that just drove around the streets and was going to collect all the animals that were left.
Oh, yeah. So,
that is the ark.
Actually, Noah's Ark.
You had the two dogs.
Back up, it was great to see everyone lend a hand. There's always the silly stories about people trying to get into the houses and take advantage of it, but hopefully there wasn't too much of that.
So, Gav, when you had to leave your home, where do you go? To a rich friend's house, like Thursday's house, perhaps?
Well, his Casa del Thurston was already full with other friends. We didn't go there. We took our kids to actually their godmother's place for the afternoon while we were out and about. But then the club has helped out. They've put us up in one of the hotels here for a couple of days so we can sort out our mess. And we just went back to our house to see this morning. So
how bad is it, Gavin?
No. But like I said, we're very lucky. The front room has all got water through it. And it's funny. There's all bit of mildew and mould all up the walls, but speaking to our neighbours, the bottom of their lounge rooms looks like the bottom of a muddy creek. So, like I keep saying, we're very fortunate, very lucky. I thought with the generator, we may be able to get back into our house sooner rather than later, but even the kitchen sinks are full, so I'm guessing there's going to be no sewage or no water. No one really knows as yet, so time will tell.
Thank you.
We were saying thank you.
All right, no worries, guys.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Townsville still in crisis, a flood crisis. And Nick Cody has come up with a plan to sort of help him out a bit of flood relief.
Yeah, the only way I can help.
Okay.
I've got no actual skills, but I know this will do the job.
You got one skill.
I've got one skill.
We're going to get to it next.
One skill. Hey, you guys on Facebook, do you get those little things, oh, Robin and so-and-so have been friends for 3 years or 5? You understand what they're doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Facebook's probably got one about themselves because 15 years old. Happy birthday, Facebook.
Is that right?
2004, started at Harvard, just thought it'd be a little thing, and then, of course, we all know now it's all about the economy.
They've done pretty well for a 15-year-old. It's very rare that a teenager can change a US election.
Yeah, but, that's so true. Can I give you an interesting point?
Yes.
The man who owned MySpace, does anyone remember MySpace?
Yes, is that Tom? Yeah, Tom.
Tom.
It was just Tom.
I think it was just Tom. He was in your top 8 friends list.
I never had MySpace.
But I didn't
Rupert
either.
Murdoch, well, I didn't get around to it. I just went straight to Facebook. Rupert Murdoch bought it thinking, righto, I'm on here.
And Justin Timberlake.
He was involved too.
In MySpace.
All right. I just want to, and we all know Facebook seems to have gone, taken off slightly.
You reckon Facebook's beating MySpace? Big call, Marto.
Here's Rupert Murdoch's quote. This is in 2008, Rupert Murdoch. This Facebook thing just seems to be the flavour of the month. Yeah. 2008.
Visionary.
Yeah.
Decade.
Oh, yeah. Well done,
Ruby. Millennial? Normally 85-year-olds are on the pulse of social media.
That's in his friend group.
It's a Big Breakfast on Triple M.
They say money makes the world go round.
Show me the money.
Well, unless you're a flat earther, then you've got a whole lot of other issues going on.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
We've $1 million with Triple M's Millionaire Listener.
Yeah, I'm living life in the fast lane.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody in the morning. And $1 million while you're at work. 104.5 Triple M.
Oh, car crash television last night with Married at First Sight. Seriously, it's one of those. Like, I'm pretty good with relationship type TV, certainly reality TV, but it was so awkward because we came to the last of the honeymoons as the couples, all the couples. If you haven't been watching Married at First Sight, there are 10 couples. They've met for the first time at the altar and then they've been sent on their honeymoon. And the most interest has been shown to young Queenslander Matthew, who's 29 and a virgin.
How old is he? 29. Still 29. Lives with mum and dad.
Still lives with mum and dad.
No real hints there that he could be a virgin, hey?
No. Married Lauren, who is 31, and she is from New South Wales. Anyway, she is very accommodating, and when she found out on the wedding night that he was a virgin, she didn't mind at all. But the pressure was building on the honeymoon, and, you know...
Where did they go? Where did they go for the honeymoon?
They went to McLaren Valley in South Australia.
Righto. Wine
and
district.
You could tell, you know, she was saying it's okay and that she would help lead everything through, but you know, day one, nothing happened. Day two, and then he started to get sick, and he was getting physically sick at night.
Anxiety.
So much so, day three, they spent the night in the hospital for 6 hours.
Whoa. For blue balls.
Sat by him.
You go to a hospital for that.
Did we need a pump or something? What was needed?
I don't know, but she sat with him.
Viagra? What are we looking at here?
Stroked his arm.
Oh.
No, wrong pump.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right train, wrong track.
Okay.
Hey, give us a diagram and we'll point
anyway,
it out.
Day four, he felt further. Like finally she had shown that she cares about him and that he could trust her.
Was she being particularly alluring?
No, she was getting more frustrated as the days went on because he just wanted him to kiss her and he wouldn't because he was so anxious. Anyway, finally, final day before they were heading back from their honeymoon, it happened.
Last night I lost my virginity. It was just a beautiful moment. Oh. It was probably more than I expected it would be. It was amazing. I think it was worth the 29-year wait. Loz is just amazing. We're so close. We're so connected. I just want to be with her.
That's what you're missing out on, buddy.
I reckon if you haven't done it for 29 years, it would literally be a moment.
Can I just check, was there any word? Did Sportsbet pay out on 3 to 5 seconds? Was there under and over 3 seconds for
a
bet?
Are you not surprised to know that I have no idea?
Oh, God.
But I wanted to just take it down a road and just see how
honest.
Did
he say love you?
No.
Has he got enormous swagger now? Like he's just constantly chain smoking and he wears sunglasses
What's
at
up,
night?
Bitches?
Both of them have just been like smiling a lot. Right. So come on, if you're going to laugh at the 29-year-old, how old were you?
How old were what?
Well, when you did. When you lost your
virginity.
Well,
you started. Go on.
Okay, 17. Year 12.
16.
Yeah, 16.
And was it a great moment? Do you remember it? Did you have a swagger afterwards?
Yeah. What was your post-swagger?
It's my first chance to be truly honest on this.
Yeah, come on.
So I don't remember it being super fun because my girlfriend at the time also was a virgin.
Oh, that's no good.
And she was a bit like, oh, and that's not going to work. You know what I mean?
That wasn't. So afterwards, you were kind of like, that's it? You weren't laughing and swaggering? And
no. I just feel bad. If some, you know, I'm a nice bloke. Yeah. If someone says, oh, I'm like, you're all right. I'm not thinking.
Was it somewhere respectable in the back of a car?
No, I only got my license last year.
Oh, so true. That's why. Is that this bloke's problem? Does he not drive enough?
I don't know. And Greg Martin?
I think I've told you before, but I was 16-year-old at the Rest Point Casino in Hobart and a 26-year-old woman picked me up, got in her car. There were two baby seats in the back seat. My son's driving to work right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Haz. And we went and had a go at the beach. I was being billeted by these lovely people in Hobart, okay? And
who wasn't related to the 26-year-old.
No, it had nothing to do. I was just lurking at the casino on a Tuesday night.
Don't say lurking.
You can't be a 16-year-old lurker.
No, she grabbed me.
Then we went to the beach.
Little Marto.
Listen. It gets so much
better. First one was the cement mixer, I think they call it. I went to the beach, and then we went up to the top of Mount Cook where it was snowing. It was a super night.
And then she wrote you a letter.
At 6:30. I've told you this. She wrote me a letter. I got it in Mass about a month later saying she wanted to move to Brisbane.
Oh.
So it was a top night. Never saw her before.
Why did you have to do it at two completely different altitudes? Why did you have to go sea level and then 3,000 feet
She should have been arrested, shouldn't she? She should have been arrested.
Kinda.
Well, where's the big breakfast?
Can you stop this?
That is so
fun. Make this go away.
Triple
M's big breakfast. Hey, let's just start with the story that's doing the rounds about Matt Damon, who has become the bromance of Chris Hemsworth. Been seen a lot around here in southeast Queensland, but also rented a house for 2 or 3 months at Byron Bay at the end of last year, and he's back.
That house sold for $3.8 million in October last year, and then he bought a place in Brooklyn in New York for $16.7 million because it's a penthouse and he can.
I was going to say, you know, Byron Bay is expensive when buddy Jason Bourne needs to rent. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, that's the basis of the story because they're saying that he's back now and he's renting and la la la. I think he must be best mates with Hemsworth because I see, and this is what interested me. I tried to say a name yesterday. Hemsworth's wife name
Elsa.
Elsa Pataky or something or other. Matt Damon's wife, best mates, both got the same pinky tattoo yesterday.
Oh, classy.
That's where I'm starting with this. And I wanted,
Did they go to a Byron Bay tattooist?
I believe so.
Probably a vegan ink.
Can I just explain? When I was a kid, it was hippies only. There was one road in, one road out, or you went down the other end.
There still is one road in, one road out.
If you're busy. If you know your way down the hill, there's other ways to get in there. But
that's going off-road.
Hemsworth, just to tell you, a mate of mine knows because he's an architect and he's designing a big place for a guy down there. Okay, God, there's some money down there. If you don't know, it's like Mossman, which is the rich suburb, one of the rich suburbs in Sydney, has all moved up into the hills outside Byron, and people like Hemsworth, he paid $7 million for that block of land. If anyone's a surfer, the main Byron, the main beach, you go around the backsides, you know, to
Broken Head.
Well, Broken Head is where he is, but that's the next point down. So that's where Hemsworth is. Paid $7 million. That block he's doing, and my mate's had a look at it because he had to get a drone up to look at something else.
Mm-hmm.
$9 million they're spending on the reno to build this house.
So $7 million for the block.
$7 million for the block, $9 million to build the house, okay. Ooh. Now, Matt Damon has been, and this is where I just want to jump in. While they're building the house, they bought another one at Suffolk Park, which is closer to Byron, for $4.3 million. They must have serious money put on them.
And they're going to give that house to Chris Hemsworth's parents when it's done.
It's not bad, is it? Anyway, so the story goes that Matt Damon's just back for another little holiday. On the weekend, and this is where I just want to be like Dobbo with his rugby league. What I can tell you.
Some entertainment goss.
Is Matt Damon has bought a house there. He's not just coming here and renting and pretending to buy. He has actually bought a house because of his friendship with the Hemsworths, and we will see a lot more of him. And this is where Byron Bay, because Hemsworth apparently so popular, Byron Bay just keeps on grabbing them. Bernard Fanning's bought a house down there. I'll break that one for you as well. I know
the real estate.
And you know,
news.
Up in sort of the back blocks near where I got married,
Bangalore and stuff.
Like,
God, the musicians and comedians, all the good. That's where you should be going. So all the big comedians are also there and rock stars.
Yeah, so I've got to go to Byron Bay.
Well, you've got to become big first.
Yeah, weight-wise, I've got it. Just career-wise, I've got to...
Kia ora.
Oh, hello, New Zealand brother.
I think we downplayed. We didn't use it big enough yesterday, the Chinese New Year. We should have. But we've got plenty of year. It's a whole year of the bacon, so we can hold on off on that one. But
don't
we
forget ham.
And ham. Oh, so what a product.
The pig. The pig. Anyway, but that's got nothing to do with...
Today, we cannot let this go past. It is New Zealand Day, otherwise known as Waitangi Day. In 1840, in the Bay of Islands, which is north of Auckland, they signed the agreement between the Maori chiefs and also the New Zealand... Well, the British representative signed a deal and they said, righto, let's no more fighting and squabbling. Let's live here in a happy place. And the Kiwis have lived happily ever after ever since. Thank you, Dave Dobbin.
So is today like a holiday?
This is Australia Day for New Zealand, but they still call it Waitangi Day because that's the day when they actually, well, we said sorry a few years ago and haven't really worked things out yet. They decided back then, let's sort this out now because they were free people. They weren't convicts like us. Mm-hmm. Well, all I want to say is we know there's a million Kiwis live in Australia. There's a heap of them. Heap of them live in Southeast. Yeah, sorry. That was just my colloquial term for how many Kiwis live here. Lots of them live here.
What's a collective noun of a Kiwi that lives in Australia?
You almost said it.
A sheepload of Kiwis. Hey, listen, for right now, and the haka, can you do the haka?
No, but it is great. One of my favourite things to witness. No, it's awesome.
All right. We sometimes allow Kiwis on this radio station to do the haka, and this is one of those occasions. If you're a Kiwi and you know the words to the kamate haka, which goes kamate, kamate, kora, kora.
Mardo's seen a lot of it in radio.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, what they do, they do that, then they humiliate you, kick you and beat you by 30 points, the All Blacks.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Just before 9 o'clock yesterday, you made a big call about AFLW. Do you mind repeating it for everyone?
Yeah, I fully believe that AFLW and its rising popularity is going to wipe out netball.
Yeah, no.
Or it's going to significantly drop the numbers of women playing netball. Why would you want to play? Why would you want to play a sport where contact involves no actual contact when you can just go light some people up?
And Robin and I just went, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, 550,000 women are playing netball.
But that's only because AFLW is new. I just think it's because, as I said yesterday, when I was growing up, girls could only play Aussie rules until under 13s and then they weren't allowed to play anymore. So netball gets all those numbers because down in Victoria, where I'm from, it's combined football, netball clubs. If you can't play footy, you play netball. There were so many girls, fights would break out in netball because they want to be playing footy.
Well, listen, Scott from Geebung rang us and he has a bit of a connection at the Redcliffe Tigers AFL club. Have a listen to what he said yesterday.
We had no women's teams or girls' teams in their own right at the end of last season.
Yeah.
At the Redcliffe Tigers. This season, we've got almost enough women to run two teams. So we've got girls running through the junior groups, which normally wouldn't go any further, but now they've got somewhere to
AFLW.
Go.
AFLW. We had no more time. That was the end of the show yesterday. And we went, hold on, we should investigate this. You might be onto something.
If you work at a footy club and you can see the numbers of these female players growing, give us a call. I just want to know. Or if you're at a netball club and you're seeing the numbers drop off. It's just going to happen. AFLW is getting bigger and bigger. Wow. And the more money that goes into the sport, the more the women can make playing, it's going to attract more.
Can you play AFLW at the Commonwealth Games?
No. Should be able to.
Nick's saying AFLW is taking over netball. We want to hear your thoughts.
We got James from Brackenridge. How are you, James?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Yeah,
you've got a daughter that plays?
Well, she actually got inspired all the way back when she was 3 or 4 years old because of the gold medal and the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, okay.
Played a bit of rugby tots, but there wasn't very many girls, so she ended up getting a bit disheartened, went to basketball.
Yeah.
But last year, she saw the Brisbane Broncos girls, and I tell you what, they were so inspiring. They're such great role models.
Mm.
She got to meet the whole team.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Fell in love with Chelsea Baker the first time she saw her as a little 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And, like,
And what, she's taken up women's NRL now?
Yeah, so she's gone out to the Astley Devils because they've had women's teams for the last, I think, 6 years.
James, how old is she now?
She's 7 now, so she'll be playing under 8.
They've got a girls' under 8 team competition, have they?
Well, they actually play mixed up until 10.
Yeah, good one.
And then they have a 10-year-old side all the way up, 16s. They've even got David Stagg. He's actually one of the guys that helps train the under-16s.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's going to take away from the other sports.
James, keep me updated as it goes, but I believe dressing rooms are going to be a factor because football clubs were only made for men. I don't know where. I think they're going to get more funding, etc. Give us the L, mate. That's a good one.
Thanks, James. And Jamie of Oxley. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Ooh, you're the secretary of what?
For the Moreton Bay Lions AFL Club.
Okay.
And we have both men's and women's teams. So we had, we actually hosted the Brisbane Lions versus the Giants game at our Moreton Bay facility.
We saw it on the weekend. Yeah, good win.
And it was also our sign-on day. So
good move.
You know, we were really trying to promote women and girls to come and fill our teams, but we've got our sign-on days up until about April, and we've got our next, we're hosting the Brisbane Lions again versus the Geelong Cats on the 2nd of March, so definitely trying to pump girls and women coming and filling the ranks.
Have you noticed an increase in the number of girls playing AFLW or signing up to play AFLW?
Oh, for sure. The spike is incredible. You know, my partner plays AFL. I'm more of an NRL fan, but to see not only women in AFL but in NRL has just been absolutely incredible. It was unheard of back when I used to play as a kid.
Where are those girls coming from? What sport? Nick reckons it might be netball that's getting clobbered.
Yeah, for sure. You know, these are just, well, for people my age, these are just women who want to get out there and not only give it a crack, but probably work out some of the stresses of general household
life. Light people up.
You cannot be what you cannot see.
Hitting people technically and legally is a great thing.
All I wanted to do, though, was ask Jamie, she's gone now, the Moreton Bay Light, how do you not go the Bugs?
Robert, you are director of what?
Oh, girls cricket across Brisbane North and winter cricket across women's and girls.
Okay, so you're competing against AFLW.
Well, mate, I don't really know whether we need to talk about netball or AFLW because cricket comes for both, to be completely honest. I mean, we had 7 girls playing cricket across Brisbane North, which is, that's the biggest association in the country. We've got 4,500 registered players. And we've got, what are we? We've got 24 girls teams playing Saturday morning.
Wow.
We had six winter girls teams last year. This year we're starting a winter women's competition. Last year was the first, well, it was the first girls winter cricket competition in Australia, which makes it the first winter women's girls competition in the world, really, because we're leading
Robert,
the world in that.
Robert, would that be from Big Bash?
Well, AFLW, but the Heat girls had a pretty big win a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know what? Today's they're receiving the keys to the city, and there's a 1:15 today in the middle of the city. If you've got a young girl and you want to say, listen, I'll take you out of school for 2 hours, come and meet some real heroes. They are an incredible team, that Brisbane Heat team. Robert, can I ask you, do you reckon they're clobbering, they're getting their girls from softball and it's going down in popularity?
Nah, most of them are coming from traditional sports. I mean, cricket's lucky in that we haven't really got a summer competitor.
Moving
to winter. Because if you think about it, like if you had a choice between playing cricket in 34 degrees in the middle of January or playing it in 24 degrees in winter.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
24 degree winter.
We're not stupid.
Delicious.
Nice one. Thanks, Rob.
Big breakfast. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow. The show. Triple M.